now we have the opportunity to continue to worship. And with it being Mother's Day, if you are not familiar, we're going to follow a bit of a tradition in our church where we take both Mother's Day and, Lord willing, Father's Day to look at a bit of a bio of a Christian father or mother, depending on the day, and be encouraged by the example that they've set for us and to see what God has said in his word that might coincide with and how these people's lives illustrate the truths we find in Scripture. So this Mother's Day 2025, we are going to be encouraged by this lady that all of you know by sight. And if you don't happen to know her by sight, that is a woman named Betsy Moody. She is the mother of renowned 19th century evangelist Dwight Lyman Moody, or as you likely know him, D.L. Moody. And I wanted to say that we continue to take this opportunity to acknowledge the beauty and the blessing of Mother's Day and motherhood, and to do so in a congregational setting can sometimes be a little bit of a tricky thing, because sometimes we want to shy away from these kind of celebrations in public settings, because for many of us, yes, this Mother's Day and Father's Day and such celebrations bring great joy, great appreciation, but it can also stir up painful thoughts and painful memories as well. And I think it's important for us as a congregation that we don't be ashamed to acknowledge both sides of the coin. Paul says in Romans 12:15, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. When we gather together as Christ's body, obviously we gather to with the primary purpose of bringing all glory to God, that we would love our God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. But we have a second commandment, and it's supposed to be defining of who we are as God's people, that we would also love our neighbor as ourselves. And then Christ intensifies that, as we talked about recently at Easter time, that we are to love one another, our Christian brothers and sisters, not only as we love ourselves, but as Christ has loved us. Paul would say again in 1 Corinthians 12:26, if one member suffers, let all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. So we can rejoice in the honor that we show towards the mothers in our midst and the mothers whose lives that we've benefited from. Then we could also weep and suffer together as a family for the various situations that can also make Mother's Day difficult. For some, this holiday reminds us of mothers maybe we didn't even have or know. Maybe mothers who didn't model for us what God had created mothers to be. For others, Mother's Day reminds us of mothers that we've lost. Others, and for mothers specifically, it can be a time where we are reminded of the loss of children, children who have walked away from faith and family, children who have passed away, whether in the womb or prior to being born. There are also those who desire the blessing of motherhood but have not experienced that blessing, and not the least of which, there's also the reality that motherhood is difficult. And perhaps, I mean, I know what it's like trying to get children out the door on a Sunday morning, particularly if you have more than one, but even with just one, sometimes just to revel in the blessing that is motherhood as you are trying to get a child out the door for church is difficult. I would encourage us not to gloss over the struggle that comes along with sometimes celebrating motherhood. To not forget the heartache or the grief that such a celebration can remind us of, that we would use this to bring us to worship and bring us to a place where we can comfort and care for one another, where we can allow the body to be what it's meant to be. 2 Corinthians 1, Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God." An incredible blessing of being a part of the church, particularly for a mother or for a father, is, I don't know if you know this, but they don't hand out a rule book when you have a child. Be like, this is step by step. We have a rule book, but sometimes it's hard to figure out exactly how to apply that. And having a church family is an incredible blessing, because when we are at our wits' end or when things don't go as we would think that they should, we can trust in good and godly wisdom from brothers and sisters who maybe have been there before we have. So as necessary, we take the time to mourn and weep with those who mourn and weep, and that allows us to rejoice all the more genuinely as a body, recognizing what a precious blessing it is to be able to celebrate mothers and motherhood. Well, that is my disclaimer and my setup for this message, and to that end, we're going to kind of return our minds to consider the life, the motherhood, and the legacy of Mrs. Betsy Moody. I'll turn you on to an initial resource that I have used in this series over the last couple of years. It's by a Canadian, so that's a bonus right there, but a Canadian Reformed Baptist theologian, pastor, blogger, his name Tim Challies, and he wrote a book called Devoted, Great Men and Their Godly Moms. And I would recommend it to all of you if you have the chance. It's not too dense of a read, and it goes through and looks at just vignettes of the stories of some of these great men and their godly moms. And as we look at great men and their godly moms, I want to preface noticing that while Betsy Moody did raise a great man of faith, godly parenting, great or otherwise, doesn't guarantee a great and or godly child. As parents, it is our job to steward that responsibility well, to plant all of the seeds that we have the opportunity to plant, and to water those seeds in every way that we possibly can. Our children ought to know the gospel, they ought to come to church, they ought to get everything they need to succeed. But ultimately, it is God who gives the growth. So just because we read about great men and their godly moms, we read about these incredible success stories within Christian ministry, to call them success stories is not a success story of the father or mother. It is the success story of the God who has empowered the whole process. And if you look at your story and go, I don't know whether that immediately would qualify as a success story, welcome to the club. The success is God's, and we trust Him. But by God's grace, Betsy Moody was able to see her son grow into a truly influential man of faith, and we should probably do a little bit of background on her son. I confess a bit of a secondhand personal debt to D.L. Moody, because my mother and father-in-law met while attending Moody Bible Institute in Chicago, which obviously was partially established through the work of D.L. Moody in the late 1800s. So he helped to establish a kind of a thriving Bible Institute, but his greatest claim to ministry is that he was a prolific evangelist. He had a heart for and a gift for evangelism in a style that wasn't stuffy and academic, but he was a businessman turned evangelist, so his style was very much the style of the common people. And yet he led revival meetings across the United States and England from kind of the 1870s to the 1890s was his frame. And in amongst that, he rubbed shoulders with the like of Charles Spurgeon. Spurgeon had him come and preach at his church more than once. He was involved in the ministry of and promoted the ministry of Hudson Taylor, who many of you will know as a missionary to China and the founder of China Inland Mission. We have, in the past, on our Father's Day, talked about George Mueller, also known to D.L. Moody and involved in ministry together. And he also preached to President Abraham Lincoln. So we have this man who was kind of at the height of, you don't preach to the president unless you have some recognition. But also, preaching to the president doesn't make you a good preacher. It was not the fame, it was not the financial blessings, it was none of these things that were of primary importance to D.L. Moody. Speaking of preaching and preachers, and even his own preaching, he once said, "I would rather 1,000 times be 5 minutes at the feet of Christ than listen a lifetime to all the wise men of the world." And listen at the feet of Christ he did. He was well steeped in his Bible, and his great passion in life was to introduce lost sinners to his Savior that they might know him and come to be saved. And he did this to great effect. He preached sometimes to gatherings in the tens of thousands. And this was in a time before we had Rogers Place, where having 18,000 people packed into a place or 30,000 people packed into a place was a little bit more difficult. And throughout his ministry and his evangelistic revival meetings, he remained ever grateful to the impression that his mother had left on his life. And he would correspond with her regularly and visit her often. By all accounts, from what we can see, he was a great man. He became great in status and financial wealth and ministry success, and that all came from incredibly meager beginnings, but his ministry greatness, the work that he did, empowered by God, was truly incredible. And in these meager beginnings, those seeds were planted. And he had the faithful ministry of his dear mother as partially to thank for that. And you'll notice we don't hear much about D.L. Moody's father, because D.L. Moody's father passed away suddenly when he was only 4 years old. So little Dwight had only a single mother, Mrs. Moody, a poor widow with 7 children and twins on the way when his father passed. I was able to find Betsy Moody's obituary notice in her local paper, Benefits of the Internet, but it gives us some great backstory. Mrs. Betsy Moody, mother of the evangelist D.L. Moody, died Sunday morning at 11:30 after a brief illness, having reached the great age of 91 years. The deceased has been a lifelong resident of this town. She was born February 5, 1805, being the daughter of Luther Holton. At the age of 23, she married Edwin Moody, and for 68 years she has lived in the house in which she died. After 14 years of married life, she was left a widow with 9 children and absolutely without means to support them. Bravely, she struggled through these years when her children were small, keeping her family around her. By the greatest sacrifice and hard work in rearing them to become respected members of the community in which they live. Goes on to say, thus was laid to rest a typical New England mother, One who by self-sacrifice, hard work, and trust in her God, reared her family, brought out what was best in their natures, and made the community, the town, and the world better for having lived in it. Betsy Moody was not only a godly mother, stewarding this blessing of nine children, but she was also a single mother to these little ones. When her husband passed away, her oldest son was 12, and she never remarried in the next 54 years of her life. It's said that when her husband passed away, there was significant debts on the family, and that debt collectors descended on the home, taking even the kindling from the wood box, and all that was left was the house that they lived in. So she was left with no financial support, nothing left in the home, seven children and twins along the way. And that was the environment that D.L. Moody was raised in. And when his mother passed away, he brought something of a message at her funeral, and tellingly, his message about his mother at her funeral came straight out of Proverbs 31. He quoted pieces of Proverbs 31 and commented on them. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. Moody comments, she has been a widow for 54 years, and yet she loved her husband the day she died as much as she ever did. I never heard one word, and she never taught her children to do anything but just reverence her father. She loved him right up to the last. And this is incredible, because the assumption and the evidence that can be found is that alcohol factored into the passing, the sudden passing of D.L. Moody's father. And yet, this is the training and legacy that Betsy pursued for her husband. Back to Proverbs 31. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. I love the quote here from D.L. That is my mother. No further commentary required. She considereth a field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hands. She planted a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth out not by night. Widow Moody's light had burned on that hill for 54 years in that one room. We built a room for her where she could be more comfortable, but she was not often there. There was just one room where she wanted to be. Her children were born there. Her first sorrow came there, and that was where God had met her. That is the place she liked to stay, where her children liked to meet her, where she worked and toiled and wept. She stretcheth out her hands to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. Now there's one thing about my mother. She never turned away any poor from her home. There was one time we got down to less than a loaf of bread. Someone came along hungry, and she says, now children, shall I cut your slices a little thinner and give some to this person? And we all voted for her to do it. That is the way she taught us. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She would let the neighbors' boys in all over the house and track in snow. And when there was going to be a party, she would say, who will stay with me? I will be all alone. Why don't you ask them to come here? In that way, she kept them all at home and knew where her children were. The door was never locked at night until she knew they were all safe in bed, safe and secure. Nothing was too hard for her if she could only spare her children. These memories of Betsy Moody from the community in which she lived and from her son's eulogy of her offer us a compelling picture of an incredibly hardworking woman who did all she could to rightly care for her children. She worked tirelessly to provide for them, And she was also determined that they would know the Lord. Not having her husband available to train her children, she was steadfast that on Sunday her children went to Sunday school. Moody says, it was not a debatable question whether they should go or not. All the family attended. I know how difficult it is for even just my wife to manage six children without a husband to help just for the preaching time. Now we have nine children and no husband. And yet she was blessed by the ministry of the church to help her care for these children. And if I saw two recurring themes in all these different accounts of Betsy Moody's life, they're these. One, obviously, of incredible discipline and hard work in seeing that her family's needs were met in spite of financial ruin. And the second, this steadfast determination that her family would know Christ. And these might seem simple, at least in principle, but for the single mom of nine children, implementation of these things took enormous effort and resources, and something, these resources, were, to Mrs. Moody's credit, something that she knew she lacked. She knew she did not have the strength to mother nine children properly. And I think you or I can admit that we do not have the strength to mother even one child properly. Again, from her funeral address, D.L. Moody said, I want to give you one verse, her creed. Her creed was very short. Do you know what it was? I will tell you what it was. When everything went against her, this was her stay. My trust is in God. My trust is in God. As I was reading this, I couldn't help but be reminded of the final pieces of Tim's Sunday school session that we looked at last week. His final session was titled, Decision Making in View of the Will of God. And one of the passages that we kept coming back to, and kind of the primary one that I wanted us to refamiliarize ourselves with this morning, was Proverbs 3, 5-8. Our brother Dick has already read it, and I'm going to read it again. Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. That is the bumper sticker. That is everyone's favorite Proverbs 3 quote. But it goes on to say, and this all ties together, it's trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil, and it will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. I think in the realm of parenthood, as well as just life in general, there is a great danger that we sometimes forget that we sometimes are paralyzed in our decision making. We are so concerned about making a wrong decision that we don't make a decision at all. We just say, I'm just going to freeze here because what if I do something wrong? And goodness knows, parenting, that is a danger. And I know if I had been placed in Betsy Moody's circumstances, to do anything would have seemed like an insurmountable task. When navigating the loss of a husband and father to her children, when faced with providing physically for the basic necessities that she and her nine small children required, when trying to keep nine children at home and not send them out to boarding houses where they could work and provide help to provide for the family, but then they wouldn't be able to be at home. When desiring to train these children to do what is right without a husband and a partner to do it with. any of these, and certainly many more, would have been enough to leave most of us at an utter loss as to how we can proceed. But Betsy Moody, who, by her son's own account, had only a very basic understanding of faith until later in her life, by God's grace, Betsy Moody chose the one thing that could stand in the face of all of these utterly insurmountable challenges. The one thing that was worth her trust. Her mantra, "My trust is in God. My trust is in God," is exactly what she needed. Had her trust been in anything else, in anyone else, she would have been utterly disappointed and ruined. But to trust in God, particularly in the face of adversity, is the one hope and foundation that can give us anchor in the storms of life. I keep coming back to Romans chapter 8. Paul, in verses 31 to 39, he sums up the previous chapter, the rest of chapter 8, and, 8:31 to 39 actually sums up about back to chapter 5 of Romans. He says, "What then shall we say to these things?" These things being everything back to basically the beginning of chapter 5. "If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, 'For your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered.' No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." I've referenced this passage recently before in our service here, and each of us knows clearly that there are innumerable powers and trials that will seek to stand in the way of both the gospel and the one who is committed to live according to it. But the great and enduring hope that we have, the reason to press on in the face of such adversity, the strength that we have to carry forward, doesn't come from our hope in anything else. Our hope is not in conquerors. Our hope is not in angels or rulers or present or to come or powers. Our hope is in Christ. If we are being opposed either by the world or by spiritual powers of darkness, what more do we need than the hope that is found in the one who has already defeated those powers on our behalf and for his glory in the cross? And if we even are worried that our fountain will be cut off, that we will somehow be separated from the source of our hope and our strength, Paul offers us hope there too. Jesus even reminds us that it is not our hold on him that must be overcome by those who would seek to separate us from Christ, but it is his hold on us that would have to be loosed. John 10, "My sheep hear my voice and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." It is not our hold on him, it is his hold on us. So for the one who has trusted Christ, the sure foundation of a hope in Christ is what we need. This simple bedrock of hope that D.L. attributed to his mother and throughout her life was the best foundation she could have had, but it also was not the fullness of her hope. It's apparent if you read some of D.L. Moody's writings about his mother. He believed her to have true faith throughout her life, but she seemed to have resisted much furtherance of her faith until later in life. And a family member recalls the day when all of that changed. I believe it is D.L. Moody's son. He writes about this instance. The family still lived on the old farm and still drove to town and to Sunday meeting in the old farm wagon, just as they were used to in the days gone by. Most of the members of the family were going to drive to town that morning to hear Dwight preach. The mother startled a daughter by saying to her, "I don't suppose there would be room in the wagon for me this morning, would there?" No one had ever thought of the mother unbending and going to hear her son. "Of course there will be room, mother," said the daughter. And the mother was taken down to the church with the rest. Mr. Moody preached from the 51st Psalm and preached with a fervor that was probably inspired by the presence of his mother. When those who wished prayer were asked to arise, old Mrs. Moody stood up. The son was completely overcome and, turning to B.F. Jacobs, said with emotion, "You pray, Jacobs, I can't." From then onwards, it appears as though Betsy Moody began to grow fervently in her faith. In her later years, when she was no longer able to go out and about at 91 years old, Dwight would regularly host services on the lawn outside of his mom's home so she could hear the singing and be part of the services. And when you are a famous preacher, if you set up to preach, people will come there. And by God's grace, she became an ardent supporter of his and his ministry. She prayed for him constantly. And all of this goes back to that bedrock trust in God, but that wasn't the fullness of it. She had a simple bedrock trust in God, and that was enough. But the great blessing that flowed once she began to build on that trust was incredible. When we trust in Christ, that is the beginning. We talk often about becoming a Christian and that moment where we place our faith and our hope in Christ. And unfortunately, there's some people who see that as kind of the end of the story. I prayed the prayer. I trusted in Christ. I believed in him. I'm in. And that is as far as their hope and faith ever goes. And for some, that trust in Christ is legitimate. I have believed. I have confessed with my mouth that Jesus is Lord and believed in my heart that God raised him from the dead. And then spiritual growth is glacial at best. And there is little effort put into developing that spiritual life. And that seems to be how it occurred with Betsy Moody, where she had simple faith, but also she was raising 9 children. She did not have a whole lot of extra time for spare extracurriculars and for study. She should have made time, and eventually she did. To trust in God is the best start. It is the only start that matters, but it is both a beginning and a lifelong process that will only end when we face God in glory. That is why we are told that we are justified and that we are also sanctified. When we place our faith in Christ, we are justified. We are declared righteous. We are saved. But Scripture also speaks of us being saved. That is the other side of the coin, where we are declared righteous, we are made right before God, but then throughout the rest of our lives, we are sanctified. We are brought into conformity with what God has declared us to be. I'm going to declare you righteous and spend the rest of your life making you righteous. And it appears to me that Betsy Moody's sanctification hit another gear, and what a blessing that D.L. Moody was able to be a part of that. that the ministry that his mom had on him his whole life, seeing that he is taken to Sunday school, seeing that he is brought up and taught to know the Lord. Stories talk about pastors who took DL under their wing when he was dragged, sometimes actually kicking and screaming to church. He was not a typical, I want to be a studious preacher child. He was a, I want to go and hit things with sticks child. And his mom dragged his butt to church. And he praised God for a godly mom who did so. And even in her funeral and in writings about his mom, he fondly remembers the fact that his mom would send him out to find his own switch when it came down to things. And if he came back with a breakable switch, then that would get used and then he'd go get another one. But he praised God for the discipline he received at the hands of his mother and her firmness, saying, you are coming to church whether you like it or not. Because God used that to build him in his faith and to teach him of the truths of the gospel. And then in an incredible turnabout, God then used the preaching of D.L. Moody in the sanctification of his mother. Something that any preacher would love to see, that his ministry would have great effect even on those he loves most. As we bring this Mother's Day 2025 message to a close, I would hope that each of us, whether we are mothers or not, whether we are parents or not, that we would find ourselves encouraged and exhorted by the example of Betsy Moody, that God can use simple faith, faith that knows enough to call upon the one who is far greater than we are, and that through such faith he can do great things and offer great sustaining grace. And may we also be encouraged that God will continue to work upon us, and that even if we think of whether it's mothers or children or friends who we would say are too far gone, God can do great work even later in life, as he did upon Betsy Moody. Certainly, Betsy Moody is probably most clearly remembered by the general public as the mother of D.L. Moody. I don't think too many of us would have known who Betsy Moody was except to recognize the last name Moody. But the last thing we need to remember is that whether we remember her name or not, and we know that very few of us will be remembered on newspaper articles or blog posts, or newspaper is getting a little outmoded here, but very few of us will have statues built to us or to our children. Very few of the moms in the room will be, hey, that's the mom of. But the fact that Betsy Moody held to her confession that her trust was in God, that she held to her faith in Christ, whether she is remembered by us or not, she will be remembered forever, for her name would be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And whether you have raised a great man or woman of faith, whether you have a famous preacher that comes from your lineage, or whether you have a lineage at all, our trust and our hope is not in the lineage that would come, and our future and our hope is not from, I hope that someday I'll be remembered as the father or mother of X. Our hope is that our names will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that we will hold fast unto the end our faith in Christ. And if that is the case, then we will live alongside forever with Betsy Moody, face to face with the only one whose recognition matters. We will live forever face to face with Christ. No matter our circumstances, no matter our trials, no matter the difficulties that we face in this life, and there will be many, may we always trust in the Lord and cast our cares upon Him. Let's pray. O Lord our God, we thank You that in Your wisdom You have put us in a body of believers called the church. And that one of the benefits of being part of that body is that we would be encouraged by the examples left for us. That we could look at the lives of real men and women that we can place in time and space, and we can see where You have shown Yourself to be who Your Word proclaims You to be. That You have shown Yourself to be faithful and steadfast. You have shown Yourself to be worthy of our trust. And Lord, we pray that You would continue to encourage us with the examples of godly faith, both of church fathers and people involved in the church throughout the ages, and even from our own godly heritage in parents and grandparents and great-grandparents who have trusted in You and followed You. And if we are granted a godly Christian heritage in this life, may we praise You for it and avail ourselves of all of the wisdom and knowledge that we have while we have it. And Lord, we thank You that if our trust is in Christ, then we can know that that godly heritage continues onwards into eternity. And that we would see and know You alongside of all the saints who have trusted in You. So Lord, as we go from this place, as we seek to celebrate mothers, for those of us who are able, may we revel in that blessing. May we thank our mothers for what they have done on our behalf and for the ways in which their life have matched with your description of motherhood as we have found it in Scripture. May the mothers among us be strengthened to live their lives and to be mothers in accordance with Your Word. And may each of us, even within our own congregation, seek to use these gifts, whether we are mothers or not, to act as spiritual fathers and mothers to those in our church who could use an extra faithful parent or grandparent or brother or sister or father or mother. Lord, You have placed us together. You have revealed Yourself to us. And we pray that we would use those things for Your glory and that You would take and apply it to our hearts for our good and that we would use those gifts to build one another up in the faith as well. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now one more time, let us hear from Proverbs chapter 3 and hear it with ears that would take this as an exhortation and an encouragement. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. God bless you. You're dismissed, and happy Mother's Day.